Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Today, we are going to be looking at a very practical aspect of what it means to follow Jesus. There's a lot of things that are, this is going to be something that's something that we all deal with. Everybody deals with this aspect of following Jesus, and we're going to look at that today. The aspect that we're going to be looking at is temptations and testings. Testings and temptations. Oh boy, this is going to be exciting. Oh boy, I've always wanted to think about how I'm tested and how I'm tempted, right? Probably most of us, if we had our way, we would probably be a little bit happier if we did not have to deal with testings and temptations. Man, if I didn't have to mess with testings and temptations, I could grow so much better as a Christian. We think that. But it's also important to recognize that there is more to testings and temptations than we may initially see, and that it's actually a very important part of our walk with Jesus. And we're going to see that connection today. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in this chapter, as we've been going through the chapter, Paul has been warning the Corinthian church family to be careful how they are using their liberties, right? He's reminding them of all of the different ways that the Israelites had failed in using their liberties wisely to glorify God, and how they ended up using those liberties for their own selfish lusts. They could have displayed God's glory in an amazing way if only they had put their trust in God, if only they had obeyed God, if only they had found satisfaction in Him. But they didn't. And because they chose not to trust God, not to obey Him, not to find satisfaction in Him, they fell. They messed up big time, consistently and constantly. So Paul just got done finishing telling the Corinthian church family, listen guys, look at the Israelites and see how they messed up with their liberties. See how they let their lust take them all the way to the edge and then made them fall. Don't let that happen to you. It's Paul's warning. He says, guys, don't think that you are not in danger of falling. Don't assume that just because you're standing that you won't fall. Don't let your lusts take you too far past the edge of your freedoms. Remember what he said? We saw this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. It says this, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Right? Be careful, guys. Be careful. In the next verse, though, Paul gives them and us some great encouragement. And this encouragement helps us to understand how not to fall. How not to fall. How do we deal with testings and temptations in a way that will help us not to fall, but to grow? This is what we are getting ready to learn today. Verse 13 says this, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And this is what we're going to look at. There's something interesting about the words that he uses here, and I want to take a look at it because this the wording here is really, really interesting, and I'm going to get a little bit technical, but it's really, really interesting. In the English word, go back to the very top of the first 13, and it says this, there hath no temptation taken you, right? No temptation taken you. What's interesting is in the Japanese Bible, it uses a word called shiren, which is trial. English uses the word temptation, Japanese uses the word trial. But what's interesting, you know, we think of temptation and trial as a little bit different things, don't we? But what's really interesting is they actually both come from the exact same word. Peirasmos. Peirasmos is the word. This word sometimes points to temptations, like the temptations that we see as kind of bad, but also trials. It's the same word that points to trials too. What makes the difference between which one is used? It's all based on the situation that the word is used in. So here's the question. What makes this word become a trial? What makes this word become a temptation? What's the difference? When does it become a trial and when does it become a temptation? This is kind of important because it really affects how we see that thing, right? How does God help me through the trial or through the temptation? It's really good to think about, isn't it? Man, what is the difference? What's the difference between a trial and a temptation? How does God help me through it? This is what we're going to look at today. It's going to be really interesting. I hope you learn something from it the way I have. One of the best ways to see the differences between trial and temptation, how this word peirasmos is used in is James chapter 1. So look with me in James chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 13. James 1 verse 13 says this. And this is where he uses the word to describe temptation. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So the word used for tempt here is, you guessed it, the word peirasmos. It's peirasmos. He says God doesn't tempt us to do bad things, right? And it makes sense because God hates bad things, right? He absolutely hates, abhors evil, bad things. So why would God cause the ones he loves so deeply to do something that he abhors, something that he hates? It doesn't make sense for God to do that. And this is what James is talking about. This is one of the ways peirasmos is used, in the fact that it's an inviting to do wrong things, to pull us toward evil, right? But here's something that's really interesting. In James 1:13, it uses that word tempt. Word for tempt, to peirasmos, to tempt, right? To do bad things. But if you look just a few verses earlier, in verse 2, it says this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Man, be happy when you fall into temptation. This is awesome. Well, wait a second. What's he talking about here? First, he says God doesn't tempt us to do evil. That would be a horrible, horrible thing. But then he tells us, like just a few verses earlier, man, be so happy if you fall into all kinds of temptations. It's the best thing ever. Well, how does that make sense? How does that work out? This is where it's, and again, the funny thing is, it's the same word, peirasmos. So how can it be bad for me to, like, be tempted by God to do evil things, and there's no way he would ever do that. But then here he says, be happy that you fall into all kinds of temptations, or peirasmos. How does that difference work? Well, this is where it helps us to look around the verses to see what it's talking about, because this is what's interesting. Peirasmos changes based on the situation. So let's take a look. And this is interesting because what we're going to discover is an amazing truth of how trials and temptations work, and also how we are to respond to trials and temptations. So let's take a look at the verses around these verses to help us understand it better. Verse 2, we're talking about why we can be happy when we fall into all kinds of temptations. And the word temptations here kind of means the word trials. And we see this in verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, time out, look at this. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Man, when your faith is tried, that trial of your faith, when you're feeling that trial, when it's tough, it produces, it works, patience. And what happens when that happens? Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So in this case, peirasmos is talking about one of the ways that God helps us in our walk with Jesus. He helps us by making us stronger and more mature. Have you ever wanted to become stronger? Man, I tell you what, just you want to become stronger when we talk. You know what I'm talking about? You want to, can you help me real quick? Eito? Kota. Come over here for a second. Kota, have you ever wanted to be really stronger? Like, yeah. You know, like, right? Well, you know what? This is where God kind of helps us. In life, he gives us these weights. This is a heavy, heavy weight. Can you lift that weight? Oh my goodness, you okay? Lift that weight. Oh, look at that. No problem. This is how we get stronger, right? Just keep lifting it, Eita. We have a hard thing. We have a heavy thing in life. And what we do is we keep lifting the weight. Keep lifting the weight. God gives us trials and temptations. And pretty soon as we start lifting it, what happens is it becomes lighter. It's easy. Oh, man, I can handle this. This is no problem, man. And God says, you know what? You're doing amazing. Here, you know what? This is so easy for you. Let me put this aside. That's so easy for you. Let me give you something else. Here you go. Here's something a little bit stronger. Go lift that up. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's so heavy. Oh, but you keep lifting. You endure. You're patiently enduring. And you keep lifting it. And after a while, after a couple of weeks, what happens? Suddenly it becomes a little bit easier. You've gone through the pain, the exhaustion of lifting this heavy weight, and it's harder and harder. But you patiently endure it. And once you do that, your patience grows stronger. The trials become easier. This is where you have to endure, because we're not done yet. There's another interesting word, a thing that trial talks about. In 1 Peter, stay right here, okay? Take a break, because you're going to need it. In 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says this. One of the things trials do is it reveals, it shows what's inside. Verse 6, here we see it again. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, you're happy, you're excited, this is awesome, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through what? Manifold temptations. All the temptations are really getting you down, you're lifting them. Oh, they're so heavy and you're enduring, you're struggling. But rejoice! Because this is a good thing. Why? Verse 7. Good job. That the trial of your faith which is much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Here's what he says. Your struggle, that trial of faith, that faith, when you go through those temptations and bearing the heaviness of the temptations, that trial is actually revealing the glory of God. It's a process that God uses to reveal his glory through you as you endure the heaviness of temptation. As he shows you how strong and how wonderful and how valuable faith really is. This is really important. Peter had just said in verse 5 that we are kept, we are held fast by the power of God through faith. So how does he do that? How does he reveal his power through our faith? He does it literally through temptations and trials. That word pelasmos. When we see how amazing his power in us, as we trust him, as we see how amazing that is, we discover what God reveals to display, reveal, show what's inside, how he reveals through our faith and displays his glory. It's like this. Eta, I want to give you, this was pretty strong. And I know you're probably tired, but I fully believe that you can do more. Let me give you this guy right here, 5 kilograms. And sometimes we see this 5 kilogram weight and we say, oh man, there's no way I'm gonna be able to lift that. I'm wiped out. I'm beat. I'm exhausted. And this is what God does. He says, I know it's too heavy for you to carry, but if you let me help you carry it, you will be able to do it. And so he gives us the weight. And he says, come over here. I know it's too heavy for you to bear, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to help you. Oh, look at that. What in the world? It's no problem. Unbelievable. This is amazing how God uses me to display his power. This is a piece of cake. Oh, look at this. I can lift it up. No problem. One hand, no problem. I can wave it in the air. Oh, this is amazing. God is so strong in my life. Good job. You did wonderful. This is literally why trials are critical for us. Why we have to have trials in our life, because it is the way that God uses to strengthen us. It's how patience is growing in our life. When that patience matures and when we grow in patience, when we grow in love, when we grow through enduring those trials, we come out of it having gone through it, having endured, having been faithful in lifting up the weight. That at the end of it, as we look back, oh my goodness, God helped me through that. Even those times when it was so big, I didn't think I could do it. Somehow, I don't know how, but God helped me. This is perosmos in action. Trials are important for us. We see this all through the Bible. All through the Bible. Remember when God told Abraham, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac. I want you to show how much you trust in me. Abraham went to the mountain, got ready to sacrifice Isaac, and God rescued Isaac from the hands of being sacrificed. And God used that to display to Abraham how he always takes care of the ones he loves. Remember when Jesus told Peter, remember there was a big storm, massive storm, Jesus comes walking on the water, right? And it's amazing. Oh, this is really cool. Oh, Jesus is walking on the water. And then Jesus tells Peter, hey, why don't you come up on the water with me? That one step, literally a step of faith. It showed how God, Jesus, was able to sustain not just himself, but Peter walking towards Jesus on the water. That testing of faith. Remember even talking about revealing. When the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted, to be tried by Satan himself, for what purpose? To reveal, to show what's inside, to prove out that Jesus really is the perfect, sinless Son of God who perfectly and completely obeyed his Father. Even under the most difficult temptations, he was able to do so. That testing is how God strengthens us and how he reveals the spiritual growth in our lives. But here's the question. Peirasmos doesn't just mean testing or trials. It also means the temptation to do wrong, to sin. What makes that kind of peirasmos? What makes the peirasmos of a trial to change into the peirasmos of a temptation? Same word. Go back and look at James 1:13, where we first looked at that word. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Why? Because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. That kind of peirasmos doesn't come from God. Where does it come from? What happens then? How does it change from a trial to a temptation? If you look at the next verse, it gives us a really good hint. But every man is tempted. That word, peirasmos, is still there. Every man is tempted. Why? What happens? When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. In the trials that God uses for our good, our lust can pervert those things to entice us to evil. That's exactly what Paul was talking about when he told the Corinthian church to look at the children of Israel. God had brought trials and temptations to help them to grow their faith in him, to trust in him, and yet their lusts perverted those trials into enticements to sin. Their lust caused them to take the trials of God to strengthen them and prove God's goodness to them, and instead pervert them to opportunities to sin. It's what Satan does to us too. He uses these same situations to lie to us, to cause us to doubt God's faithfulness. He causes us to tempt us to doubt him, to not obey him, to not find satisfaction in him. Just like Paul had been warning the Corinthian church family. So also, this is a good warning for us. But here's an amazing thing. Here is where we see God's faithfulness, even here. Because even in the times that we struggle with those temptations, even when we go through those times when our lust causes us, pulls us towards sin, when Satan's lies pulls us towards sin, God still helps us through those times as well. Which brings us back to 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. This is where we see the faithfulness of God. He will not let those peirasmos, those trials, those temptations go beyond what you can bear. How does he do that? How does he make those trials not go to temptations that are too much for you? He does it through exit signs. You know how you're in a building and you see those green exit signs that tell you which way to get out of a building? That's what he uses. The way to escape the temptation within the trial. The way to escape the temptation within the trial. It's like being in a burning building. You're looking for a way out. Flames are around you. It's like, oh, this is terrible. What am I going to do? You look up. You see exit signs that tell you which way to get out of the building. And you get out safely. In the same way, in your trial, there will always be a way to escape the temptation within the trial. When you're in the trial that helps you to grow, you find yourself being tempted to sin. Your lusts are taking you closer to the edge. You better start looking for the exit signs because they will always be there. You say, but Pastor Steve, man, I tell you what, when I'm lusted, there's no way I don't ever see a way to escape. I never find that. Maybe you might be so focused on the temptation that you've forgotten to look for the exit signs. You know what I mean? You're tempted and your eyes are so drawn to the temptation. Your lusts are so focusing you on the temptation. Satan pulls your eyes away from your Heavenly Father and onto the temptation. So it seems like there's no way of escape. I don't see anything. That's when you look up. That's when you look up and look for the way of escape. I promise you, God is faithful. He is faithful. The exit sign is always there. Just look for it. You just have to look for it. And you follow it out. And that's how you bear the trial. That's how you endure the trial. That's how you go through the trial without falling for the temptation. There's more to this. This is so helpful for us, right? There's more to it than just fleeing from the temptation, though. There's more to it than that. It's also about knowing where to flee, knowing where you're supposed to run toward. This is what Paul reminds Timothy, one of the young pastors that he was training. In 2 Timothy 2:22, he says this, "Flee also youthful lust." Oh, there's a temptation, something causing you to lust after sin. Run away from that. Flee that. But he doesn't say just flee, but not tell him where to flee, but follow, run after, run toward what? Righteousness, faith, charity, peace. But not only that, run with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You have running buddies. You have running buddies. People who are running with you toward God. If you find yourself being drawn away, run toward the things of God. Run toward righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Those things that display God's goodness in your life. And one of the ways to do that is to have your brothers and sisters help you run toward Christ. Run toward your Father with your brothers and sisters who are running toward Him too. Do you see that? It isn't just running away and you're fine. It's important to know where to run. And this is what we are reminded of. This is what we see in the first part of 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is important. 1 Corinthians 10:13 starts off with this way. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Why is that there? It's to remind us that whatever trial you are going through, whatever temptation you are struggling with, know that you are not alone. You aren't alone. Sometimes it's easy for us to think that nobody else is struggling with the things that we're struggling with. Nobody could have the thoughts that I'm having. My brothers and sisters, there's no way they could be tempted in that same way. But that's not true. It's not true. You're not alone. And you can find comfort in that. Your brothers and sisters may be going through the same thing or may have gone through the same thing and have found the strength to endure the trial and not fall for the temptation. And they may be able to walk you through that, having gone through it themselves. So when you are dealing with those temptations, when you are going through the trial and being tempted, don't just run away from the temptation. Find somebody to run away with. Have your brothers and sisters help you through that. You are not alone. You can find comfort in running with your brothers and sisters, having a running buddy. Let your brothers and sisters help you find the exit sign. Let them help you run in the right direction. There's so much we can learn from this passage. All of the ways, peirosmos. We need it. Trials, they help us become stronger. They reveal God's strength in us as we put our trust and faith in Him. But that same peirosmos, our lusts, and Satan's lies can draw us as we endure that trial to cause us to go to the edge. Our lusts can make us fall off the edge. So this is where we see the balance of always looking up, always recognizing where our strength comes from. And when we feel that temptation, that trial transitioning and being perverted into a temptation, that we run away from it, find the exit sign, flee that temptation, run to our Heavenly Father. But don't forget, you have help. Your brothers and sisters, we run together. We run together as we follow Jesus. So my time is up, but let's think about this. Take some time to think about your life right now. What are your trials? What are the perosmos that God has put into your life to strengthen you, to prove to you how He is faithful, trustworthy? Are you letting God give you the power and strength to go through them by patiently enduring? By lifting the weight, by trusting in Him to give you the strength to lift it one more time, one more time, one more time. Are you letting any of those trials turn into temptations? If you are, lift up your eyes, look up. There are exit signs. God is faithful. He will show you a way out. Way out of the temptation so that you can endure the trial, so that you can bear it. Be willing to look up for the exit signs. Be willing to find help through your brothers and sisters to help you through those times. You have exit signs. The trials are helpful for you. When they turn into a temptation, find the exits. Trust God to lead you out of the temptation and endure the trial.